This is New England Public Radio News. In 1902, two middle-aged women organized a hiking trip through the White Mountains of New Hampshire. At the time, the mountains were under threat from logging and fires. Wheatley, Massachusetts botanist Allison Bell credits the trip with preserving the White Mountains for decades to come. She recently invited New England Public Radio's Karen Brown to retrace parts of that century-old journey.
We have managed to land on what must be the most gorgeous, friendly Mount Washington day in the history of the world.
You know, it's Allison Bell has been up Mount Washington, the tallest peak in New England, a couple hundred times. She's agreed to meet me at the bottom, 2,000 feet above sea level, in a spot called Pinkham Notch.
Most of the time, especially as you go up the mountain, you can expect rain, cold, fog, and a whole lot of wind.
We pile into her wife Leslie's pickup truck to make the 8-mile trek up the mountain's toll road.
Three people today.
The road was built a century and a half ago, originally for horse carriages full of tourists.
This site, this flat place here, is where there was a building called the Halfway House. It was for the teams of horses to switch out after they'd done half the climb, and then they'd send a fresh team up and vice versa.
Bell is a graphic designer by day, naturalist by weekend. She often leads tours of the alpine flower gardens in the White Mountains.
So if you look out the window now, we are in northern hardwood forest. We've got sugar maples and beeches and yellow birches, a few hemlocks.
She's written field guides for the Appalachian Mountain Club and recently co-wrote the book Glorious Mountain Days with Maida Goodwin about a camping trip through this terrain 117 years ago. That the 1902 trek was organized by two unmarried women over 40, Hattie Freeman and Emma Cummings, made it especially unusual for that era.
And if you can imagine yourself here before there were trails and you're trying to go that way, Karen, that's going to be a tough walk.
It's actually a tough drive for me, since I'm afraid of heights, a fact Bell likes to tease me about.
Okay, you can look now. Honest, we're in the flat place.
There's a place where cars stop at the top?
Or drive right off the edge if you don't stop.
Okay, that's not funny.
Clearly, I would have been no match for the intrepid hikers of 1902, long before backwoods recreation went mainstream. Hattie Freeman was a wealthy, conservation-minded woman. Emma Cummings was her frequent hiking companion. For this week-long trip, they took Freeman's nephew, her cousin, and a professional guide.
When Hattie and Emma and their crew started out, they started in Randolph, which is on the opposite side of this mountain range.
We don't have time to retrace their exact steps, but Bell does point out a few key stops they made along the way.
This Krumholtz Zone, right at the top of the forest before we enter into the Arctic Alpine Zone, was a place that Hattie and Emma were particularly interested in seeing because they had long wanted to see a winter wren.
At night, they stayed in wooden shelters and a hotel, now long gone, at the top of Mount Washington, which is known for some of the most extreme weather in the world.
You can see how exposed this is. The prevailing wind is coming exactly the way it is right now from the west, so all the storms track in this way.
And this was about a century before you could check your weather app for the forecast. So after waiting out a thunderstorm in the hotel, the hikers had to use the brand new telephone line installed at the summit and call a building far below.
And get someone to literally look out the window at the mountain and see what the clouds were doing.
Bell's book includes letters Freeman wrote during the trip and her photographs. Looking at them now, the attire is nothing like the sleek outdoor gear of today. The women are wearing formal-looking brimmed hats, laced-up leather shoes, long-sleeved button-up shirts, and thick, long skirts, though Bell says those were considered downright revolutionary for the time.
Because they didn't hit the ground. They came up off the ground 3 or 4 inches. Those were the short skirts. If you're climbing through this stuff right here, you're less likely to tear them.
She suspects they hiked up their skirts when no one was looking and probably skipped the corsets. But Bell says the fact that these women were doing the kind of rugged activity mostly reserved for men is only part of the story.
The greater significance of it is that Hattie and Emma and their companions were keenly aware of the fact that the forests on at least that side of the Northern Presidential Range were in imminent peril.
Bell says the state had sold large tracts of land to logging companies, which were clear-cutting to make paper. The logging was also destroying hiking trails, leaving waste and brush all over, and making the land vulnerable to devastating fires.
Hattie and Emma decided they really had to try to do whatever they could to get people motivated to help preserve the White Mountains. And remember, in 1902, these are women who had no vote.
Instead, when they got back, they held public meetings and published letters and photographs from the trip, making the case that tourism is a more sustainable industry than logging. Freeman also had friends with political influence, and within a few years, they helped get federal legislation passed that created the White Mountain National Forest. But Bell says Freeman could scarcely have predicted all the environmental threats that exist today. After all, logging is visible and obvious.
That was the easier thing to kind of wrap your head around. Things like climate change and even invasive plants is more insidious, silent, even abstract kind of problems.
Bell is herself an avid conservationist who imagines Freeman and Cummings would have joined many environmental causes today. There's a controversial proposal to build a new hotel at the top of Mount Washington. And there's the threat of invasive plant species tracked into the White Mountains from travelers and vehicles. For example, a few years ago, Bell organized a group of volunteers to pull out a patch of dandelions. If Hattie Freeman were alive today, Bell says,
she would have been out there helping us pull dandelions, for sure.
For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Karen Brown.